thy means.
Reading from Acts 10, 34 to 43. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all people, but to us, who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin through his name. This is the word of the Lord.
And we'll now hear from the choir. Wait, you'll get to open the eggs in a minute. Let's pray. Lord, open our ears to hear your word and our mouths to sing your praises. In some ways, today and what we celebrate today is a bit like the Demtel man. But wait, there's more. There's no kitchen knives, no, sorry. Even the most hardened of philosophers would say that Jesus was a wise philosopher and a great teacher on the human condition, and would say there's no need for any spooky spiritual stuff. And they get something out of Jesus. Not what I get, not my resurrection faith, but Jesus means something for them, and I can celebrate that with them. For some, when we hear these stories, we think about the disciples and what it would have meant for them to have their friend who they've seen suffer most horribly be restored to life. And if we stop there, we've got a little bit more. If we go further and we celebrate the fact that in this God has demonstrated that death is not the end, that through the work of Jesus Christ, death has been defeated and we're called into a way of eternal life and love. That's pretty good, isn't it? But wait, there's more. And that's what the eggs are about, because Jesus promised a whole heap of other things would come through what Jesus was doing. So let's open some of them. Who's game enough to give me the first egg? Inside your egg there should be a slip of paper, and this will be fun. This is a sermon where the order is purely random. This came so that we may know joy in the midst of all the suffering of the world. We can say God is in control and God loves us. We can be filled with all the joy of God. If only we're willing to take that gift. Where's another one? New life. Don't we need life? Yes, we have Jesus' resurrection life, and that gives us so much hope. And I've chatted to a widow and a widower before this service. Yesterday, I was praying with a family who are watching their father and husband pass away as we speak. It gives us enormous encouragement at that time to know that these people are entering into a new life with God. Start date. Eternity does not have to wait for our start date. Our relationship, our new life with God can begin here and now. And in that, there's an awful lot. But wait, there's more. Who else has got one? Oh, Anita. Forgiveness. How many of us wake up and go, did I really say that? Or did I really do that? Or are convinced that all the bad things happen to us in life happen to us because we deserve it. Or feel ashamed to approach others or approach God because we know how unwhole we are. Jesus came. Jesus lived and died and rose again so we can know we are forgiven. For those who wish to have a fresh start, Jesus says yes. And I love the way the philosopher theologian Jürgen Moltmann puts it, is Good Friday is Jesus' yes to the world. But Easter Sunday is God's yes to Jesus. That what this guy was going on about is true. That we have forgiveness. We have the gift of a fresh start. Does it mean we continue on how we used to be? No, we don't like that. We want to let that go. God gives us the ability to not let our frailties define our life and our future. Our new life begins when we turn to God and say, I want this. Oh, Roz, must have got verbose with this one. Restored relationships. Peace, my peace I give to you. Kind of flows on from the last one, doesn't it? That when we're at peace with ourselves and we learn that we are forgiven and we don't have to be perfect and we don't have to be better than the people around us to be worthy of their presence, we learn to forgive. Not the forgiveness that says everything's all right, just like the last one, but the forgiveness that says our relationship is worth enough that we're willing to work on this together. Does it always happen? Sadly, no. I've been chatting to another one of those this week. Oh, this job's fun. But God promises. God promises that we, when we're restored with Him, become restored to each other. And goodness, doesn't the world need that? We can be so sad about the fights between the nations. We can be so sad about Gaza and Kiev and forget the reality of domestic violence, of neighbours who don't speak to neighbours, of families that just don't speak anymore. Jesus says there is new life. Only at four, but wait, there's more. I've got another seven out there, folks, so I'm ready. Got one here? Oh, thanks, Michelle. Healing. Oh, what a tough one for you to open. Because healing doesn't always happen the way we wish it would, does it? Does it, Heather?
No.
Healing happens in other ways.
Attitudes.
Healing can happen in attitudes. Sometimes, sadly, for people, also death is a form of healing too. It's a release into new life. But we know there is so much healing. And inside your family now, there's so much need for healing. And we pray that you will know it, and we pray that God's healing comes into the world. Because I won't dare tell you you're not whole, Heather Coombs, because you're a child of God. But we'll get to that one later. Here we are. Wholeness. There are so many things we can use to say we're not good enough. We don't deserve what we have. Jesus promises, us to know wholeness. That gap we have in our lives, accept it. We are what we are. God has made us as we are whole. But sometimes we have to grow into our wholeness, don't we? We are promised a wholeness of life through Jesus Christ. Love. We're promised the love of God will live in our hearts. We're promised that as we know God's love and God lives in us, we will be so full of that love we cannot hold it in. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. Yes. What have we got here? Peace. Oh, they flow into each other, don't they? There's so much peace. Again, the Hebrew view of peace was knowing you're in the right place, like the tree that's planted beside the creek, in right relationship with yourself, with your others, and with those around you. I pray that we'll all know peace this Easter. Is there one more? Or is it? I've got all 11. No, I've got one more. One more. Oh. Direction. Jesus promises he will be with us always. And so often we need God's guidance, don't we? And we got one more up the back, have we? Oh. Enjoy the chocolate. Last one is Jesus came, lived and died and so that we can become children of God. That one sink in for a moment. Our relationship with God is very much like a like the perfect relationship between a child and their parent. What could a child ever do to deserve the love they get from a good parent? Absolutely nothing. Yet that love pours out and gives of itself. Jesus gave himself for us. Not so that we could be some people trapped forever in obligation, but fellow children of God. Co-creators of all these things that Jesus came to bring. And I pray if one or two of those seeds were to take root in each of our hearts, what a transforming presence we would be for our neighbourhoods and our world. And the good news is this, but wait, there's more. Amen.